From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. We thought we'd give you a rest from all the talk about tomorrow's presidential contest and bring you a story about an election of a different kind. The selection of a homecoming queen is a serious event at many high schools and colleges. Storyteller Kevin Kling has the tale of a peculiar candidate for the honor at a small college in Minnesota.
In the fall of 1974, I attended a college in a small town in southern Minnesota. It was a sleepy campus, and occasionally fraternities fell under the Dionysus weekend spell, and there were still a few Vietnam vets around, guys on the GI Bill that had seen and done things that left them permanently immune to authority, and a smattering of academics, artsy types, vegetarians, and free thinkers. The elite of this group called themselves the Brain Trust, inhalers as opposed to ingesters, who felt their mission was to bring down the man. Now they could be trouble. After a horrific food fight in the cafeteria, they penned their famous "When buns are outlawed, only outlaws will have buns" manifesto for the school paper, followed by "Buns don't throw buns, people throw buns," and the school administration was not amused. The angry youngster was, after all, a thing of the past. Now, at this time, I was a theater major, mostly because the only thing easier than a theater major was a theater minor. And my subversive acts were limited to putting Mr. Yuck stickers on cafeteria trays and wearing socks with sandals, because I knew that looked pissed some people off. That is, until the Brain Trust approached me with a project. Now, one of the professors was Dr. Kloss, and he taught surrealism, economics, and German, and raised goats on a farm outside of town. And one morning, Dr. Kloss awoke to find several members of the Brain Trust and me on his farm. "Yes," he said, "what do you boys want?" "We want to buy a goat." "What do you want this goat for?" asked Dr. Kloss. "To run for homecoming queen, sir." Now, Dr. Kloss loved homecoming. It was like a small Oktoberfest. It's why he lived in America. He loved to drink and eat and smoke and dance, but he loved surrealism more, and that something with a cloven hoof should represent the student body thrilled him to the marrow. "I only have a ram for sale," he said. "That's fine." "Could he win?" "We think so, Dr. Kloss." Now, Herschel wasn't much to look at. He looked more like a small buffalo. Even for a goat, he was one of the more unattractive creatures on the planet. One student stated, "Man, nobody in their right mind would sleep with that goat." And it was true. And he smelled horribly. It honestly took your breath away. And Dr. Kloss confessed no amount of soap would help. Herschel may have also been the horniest creature on the planet. As we learned on the ride home, gender was no importance to Herschel, or species, or animal, mineral, or vegetable, for that matter. And it was later learned he could hold his alcohol and could, in fact, inhale. So in no time at all, Herschel fit right in. Now to get him elected. Talent was out, looks were out. We'd have to work on his platform. To do that, somebody would have to voice the goat's opinion, and that's where I came in. I knew there was one man for the job, this actor, Rick Richardson, self-proclaimed love child of Danny Kaye and John Gielgud, the only man in the Midwest that pronounced Broadway and Waiting for Godot, and Laurence Olivier was Larry, and his favorite musical was Gigi. Rick always wore an ascot and smoked a pipe, and at any given moment would drop into a B-movie East Coast British accent like Katharine Hepburn, even though he came from Illinois, or Illinois, rally I did. It was a production of Bus Stop with Rick where I learned his talent. He played the sheriff, and to attest to his professionalism, Rick managed to always limp on the downstage leg. It was amazing. I reminded Rick that every great actor was linked to an animal on the ladder to stardom, and he agreed to provide Herschel's voice. On Meet the Candidates night, the auditorium was packed, and most came to laugh or jeer. But then Herschel walked into the spotlight. Silence. He then scanned the room with those insane goat eyes, and then he began to speak. "My fellow students," he began, "lend me your ears." He addressed the outsiders, those who don't fit in. He assured them now they had a voice, and at once he was Julius Caesar, the music man, and Henry Higgins, calling the audience Romans, Iowans, and governors. He was then Juliet, crying out for love in the night, Mad Ophelia, Carmen, Ethel Merman, "I don't know how to love him," and then Rick applied an old vaudeville trick. Any hoofer in a chorus line knows if you repeat a step seven times, an audience will automatically applaud. Kick seven times, applause. Herschel repeated, "I feel your pain 7 times until the audience leapt to their feet as one, and Herschel was an instant celebrity. Men found him virile. His sensitivity and musky smell proved irresistible to women, and the vets loved his blatant disregard for campus foliage. He rode triumphantly on the homecoming float, dressed as a Southern belle amid a crepe paper plantation, and a football player dressed as Rhett Butler had to restrain his date only once when Dr. Kloss appeared weeping and waving from the crowd. Then came the ribbon cutting, launchings, state pageant where Herschel competed unsuccessfully with other queens throughout the state. The election of Herschel actually brought a calming effect to the campus. The students had been heard, and subversive acts all but stopped. Yet in time, Herschel and Rick fell out of sync. Sometimes his speeches were mere line readings for upcoming school productions or long passages of biology text. His enthusiasm waned, except for trips to elderly homes and hospitals, where no one seemed to have minded his odor and they'd pat his bony head and didn't expect him to save the world. At the end of the year, it seemed cruel to return Herschel to farm life. He really wasn't a goat anymore. He didn't find other goats attractive, and he only liked campus food. So an ad was placed in the paper. Now, if you ever want to see a truly frightening cross-section of humanity, put a goat-slash-homecoming-queen-for-sale ad in the newspaper. We eventually gave him back to Dr. Kloss, and that was the last I saw Herschel. Rick graduated to play in a community production of Godspell and appear in waterbed warehouse commercials. The Great Brain Trust graduated and went to work for corporations or the government, and the vets still buck authority. I remember, though, sometimes, before an event, Rick would simply pause and let that goat stare with those insane eyes scanning the room. And for a while, just a while, that goat held us all on his own. And then he would begin, "My fellow students, God bless America."
Kevin Kling writes and tells stories in Minnesota.